My father was actually quite a bitter person. And I didn't realize it. You know, I thought this was normal. But, you know, I was brought up Jewish, and I could still remember. You know, I'm trying to remember. I think I've told some of these stories before. So if I tell a few that you've heard, bear with me. Even if I tell the same story, I give you different details, so it won't be the same. But I remember as a kid, we used to go to the Jewish Community Center. This was in Detroit. And we used to watch those black and white movies of the concentration camps. You know, you see all these very skinny people, and they show the mass graves and all that. And my father would say, "Don't you ever forget that you're Jewish, because one day those Christians are going to come and do it again to us." Okay? Now, you understand why he said those Christians? I think I've told this story before, part of it. In my father's mind, and this is actually the case in a lot of people's minds, Germany was not Buddhist, Germany was not Muslim, but Germany was what, primarily? It was Christian. Okay, you can say, well, they were Lutheran and they were Catholic, but in my father's mind, they were Christian. And so he said, this is what Christians do to the Jews. And so this whole mindset of being angry and hostile, you know, his friends used to come over, families, they'd come by and they'd tell stories because some of them had been in the concentration camps and got out. Some of them had lost all of their family. They all had these horror stories. And we as kids, we would sit and listen to these horror stories. And my father and his friends would say, "Don't you ever forget you're Jewish. Don't even befriend those Christians, because one day they're going to kick you in the teeth." Okay? So there was a lot of bitterness and anger in my father. And when I became a Christian, do you know what that did to my father? I was a traitor, total traitor. He went ballistic. He, you know, I smile because I think of his history, but he ended up becoming a Christian himself, which is a miracle of miracles. You know, God can work miracles. But he was so angry with me. He was so hostile. I used to have to lock myself in my bedroom. I had a big bolt lock I put on my door. You know, kids are, they want their privacy. And I had to lock him out, because he would get so aggressive. And he would say, "How could you be a Christian? Don't you know what Christians have done? What kind of, you know, Christians are all this and all that?" And he just went at it. He just went at it. And he was so bitter that I rejected Judaism, not because Judaism was such a bad religion, but because I was so tired of being angry and being aware of everybody else around us. You know, I'm wondering if we have that same challenge at times as Adventists. We think everybody out there is the enemy, and everybody in here is okay, so don't ever mingle with people out there because they're going to mess you up. And that was my father's religion, very wanting to cloister everybody in the same, wanting to keep all the Jews safe from all the other people out there. Now, was it true that people treated the Jews poorly? Sure. It was true. There's a lot of people that have been treated poorly. Now, if you look into German history, you'll find that there was a number of people. Adventists didn't do that well. There were many Adventists that were in concentration camps. Okay, my father didn't know about this. You know? But the bitterness and hostility can make religion ugly. And that was what was happening with my father. And then when he became a Christian, I still remember one lady, one of his old friends, because he became a Christian. What happened is he met a lady who was a Christian and didn't even know she was a Christian, because he wouldn't associate with Christians. Okay? My mom passed away and he was dating all these other Jewish ladies. And I said to my dad, so how's it going? He says, all these mamalas, they're driving me crazy. You know, all these nice Jewish ladies. And so he met this other lady, and he said, I really like her. And then one day they were, you know, I don't know what they were doing, but he told me, he said, and all of a sudden she said, praise the Lord. And he said, what? Praise the who? And he found out that she was an evangelical Christian. And that was, he wasn't sure what to do. But he said, you know, she's been really nice to me, so maybe they're not as bad as I thought. And when he became a Christian, he lost all of his friends, all of his Jewish friends, almost all of them. There was a few that, one fellow named Brickner, who actually became a Christian too. I remember going to his church. He was a pastor. But, and he was so happy. Oh, Morris's son, that's my dad's name, Morris. Morris's son is a preacher too. Miracles of miracles. I said, yeah, I guess that's true. Anyways, my dad, we were out to dinner one time. I don't know if I told this story. We were out to dinner one time, and a lady, one of my dad's friends, came up, and we were sitting there waiting for our order, so there was like nothing on the table. She came up, and she spit right on the table. And she said to my father, you, I want to repeat it. And she walked off in anger. Talk about being angry. Talk about hostility. You know, I think we need to really think twice. Is religion that mad? Are we mad, Venice? How is your religion? Let me see if I can do this with a handheld. If not, I can do it back here. Okay, see, this will keep me still. Let's turn in our Bibles. What does the Bible talk about? You know, this religion stuff can be difficult. And I think the real problem is not religion. The real problem is people who are religious. Are you ready?
Depends on your definition of the word.
Okay, I'll give you a sec. Should I give it a try? I'm going to have to hook up here. Is this working?
Hello, hello?
That sounds good. I'll loan it to you. Let me get this back on my ear. Okay. I think we're okay. Ah, set me free. Turn to Leviticus. Actually, you know, we're reading through Matthew, but Matthew is just Jesus say, you've heard, and what's he referring to? The Old Testament. So does it say the same thing in the Old Testament? Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, starting with verse 17 and 18. Jesus is just basically reiterating the same thing that was written in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, not only do the Jews today have issues, but the Jews back in Jesus' day had issues as well. They were not all reading the Bible. And that's, there's nothing worse than somebody who's religious that doesn't read their own writings. And so that's the challenge. That's the challenge. So Leviticus 19, 17 and 18, it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Well, my dad would say, that's fine. Them Christians are not my brothers. My brothers are the Jews, so it's okay to hate them. Let's keep reading. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin on him. Verse 18, it says, you shall not avenge. What does the word avenge mean? It's an old word for take revenge. Okay, you shall not take revenge. Nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This includes more than just our own people. Because if you look further down, I think it's in verse 32, it says you shall treat the stranger just like your brother. So it says you're not to avenge, not to get revenge if somebody does something. And what else? You're not even to be having a grudge. What's a grudge? What is a grudge? Resentment for somebody that somebody's done, okay? Or you could just be mad at somebody because they didn't do what you wanted them to. Or they, whatever, they did something wrong or they did something that you didn't like or they didn't do something that they should have done, okay? So the Old Testament is basically repeating what Jesus said. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is just elaborating on what was said in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 21, let's see what Jesus says here. Beatitudes. And the truth is, all of this sounds really good, but the only way this can happen in anybody's life is if we have Jesus in our heart. When Jesus is in your heart, all this becomes easy. Without Jesus, this is impossible. Okay? So you've heard that it was said by them of old time, we were just reading that, you shall not kill, okay? You shall not kill. That's the Ten Commandments, right? And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. And then verse 22, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, and my version says without a cause, and we'll look at that in a minute, shall be in danger of the judgment. How many have a version that says without a cause? There's a couple of them. Now, I looked that up in the Greek for you because if you get this wrong, you can say, well, it's okay. I've got a cause, so I can be angry with my brother. He did this and he did that, so that's fine. Well, if you look it up in the Greek, that actually is not a good translation of the Greek. The Greek says without a cause really means vainly or arrogantly. So if you hate your brother arrogantly, in other words, thinking you're better than he is, which is a whole different story than without a cause. So let's read that again with that little change. It says, but I say, whosoever is angry with his brother arrogantly or vainly with a vain attitude shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So now we're going to take this apart a little bit. What does Reka mean? Somebody else was, I think it was Terry, was telling me he did some homework on Reka. And if you look in the Greek, because this is all Greek, Reka could mean a number of different things. Okay? And this just says, this is all you have to do is call your brother this name or think about your brother this way. Okay? And that makes you what? Break which commandment? The one that says what? Thou shalt not kill. Okay? So Reka could mean stupid, idiot, dumb. So if you think of your brother as stupid, don't raise your hands, but do you know anybody that you think is stupid? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. Or somebody you might be tempted to call an idiot or a fool or dumb. Okay? Now, Jesus says it gets even worse because you can say a name that's not too bad. Well, he's just kind of a dunce, you know, he doesn't really get it. But if you go down to the other word where it says fool, the word is actually in Greek moros. Can you think of an English word that sounds similar? You got it right away. Moron. If you call your brother a moron, what does the text say? You are in danger of hellfire. Pastor, well, I'm not sure if I like this because there's some brothers that deserve some of this talk. This is the problem. Jesus is, and see, in my father's mind, there was a whole group of people that deserved this kind of talk. And if somebody didn't speak up, nobody would know. Now, not all Jews are hostile against Christians. There are many that are, but not all of them. Okay? Not all Christians are hostile towards other people that are not Christians. And not all Christians are hostile towards each other. You know how many people leave churches because Christians are hostile towards their own kind? I won't tell you how many. Because if I tell you, you can probably say, well, I know a few too. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, this kind of answers that thing where it says, you know, you're not supposed to be nasty to your brother. But this one doesn't say your brother. Titus 3, verse 2. And notice this. This is not really talking about hurting anybody, quotes. All this is talking about is what you say. If you say this to your brother, that he's a fool, or if you say to somebody else that so-and-so is a fool, what's that called? Starts with a G. When you say gossip, when you say, you know, Fred is such a fool, but you say that to somebody else, it's okay because Fred will never know you said it, right? Until he finds out. Until he finds out that you've told seven other people as well. Titus 3, verse 2. The Bible says to speak evil of no man. Now, how many does that mean that I could speak evil of? Maybe one, two? There must be a few people out there that are bad enough that I can say things about, right? Or how many should I speak evil of? I didn't write the Bible. I know I'm getting old, but all, my job is just to tell you what it says. Speak evil of no man and be no brawlers. You know what a brawler is? You guys heard of a bar brawl, haven't you? It's a fight. And so people, and this is Paul giving advice. He says, don't be into fighting. Do you know Christians that like to fight? We don't use fists, hopefully. But we can sure talk up a storm. It says, don't speak evil of any man, even the ones that have been nasty to you. Don't be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto everyone. Now, is that easy to do? How many have been successful at doing that? Not even once? I got a hand raised. I was telling the Spanish this. Somebody raised their hand and said, I haven't done anything like that. Which is good. Hey, if you can do it once, God can help you to do it twice. And soon, Jesus will come and we'll get to go. Because when you read 1 John chapter 3, turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 1 John 3, 16, 15 and 16. Get a little context there. Now, these texts are important for us to understand. Because if we do not follow them, we will not have a church. Because I don't like being in a church that is full of people who will gossip about me. They say, well, Pastor, you have to stay because we're paying you. I get to stay. You guys get to go. Is that how it goes? Now, does leaving solve anything anyways? Because if you go to another church, what happens? You're still there. And a lot of other people just like you. So you can go from church to church to church, and you're going to find the same thing everywhere you go. Now, how about Jesus' church? What was Jesus' church like? When he preached, what did they try to do to him? I remember there was a cliff. Yeah, almost threw him over a cliff, but he got away. Now, my church is really peaceful. Nobody's trying to throw me over a cliff. I don't think Jim's been on the cliff either. Maybe the cliffs are too far away. Maybe it would... 1 John chapter 3:15. 1 John chapter 3:15 and 16 says, whoever hates his brother is what? A murderer. That doesn't sound nice, does it? And the second part is even worse. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And how many murderers get to go to heaven? And who was the first murderer anyways? Satan is an expert. Who did he kill? Can you think of somebody? The Son of God. So if you hate your brother, you know who you are a follower of? If you're nasty to your brother, if you're unkind to your brother, if you speak evil of your brother, even if you do the little things, come on, it's not so bad. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer, and you're not going to make it into the kingdom. Is that what it's saying? By this perceive we the love of God. Okay? You mean all this murderer stuff helps us to understand what the love of God is like? Yes. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for who? For the brethren. So we definitely ought not to speak nasty of them if we're going to lay down our lives for them. But this is like impossible, isn't it? Do you know how many times I have gossiped? I won't give you a number. Do you know how many times I've listened to gossip? You know, pastors are really, it's really challenging because somebody will come to me and say, Pastor, do you know what so-and-so did? And pastors are supposed to be good listeners, aren't they? Is there a time pastors are not supposed to listen? Now, it's really hard for me to say, but I have to say this sometimes. Have you talked to your brother first? And you know what people usually say? They won't listen. They don't even want me around. It's hard work. It's hard work. Now, go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. We're going to keep reading. We read Matthew 5, 21 and 22. We're going to look at 5:22 or 23 and 24. 5:23 and 24. The truth is, your words and all these texts, it's saying what you say reveals what's going on in your heart. If you love to gossip and say nasty things about other people, even if they're guilty of those nasty things, you're just like Satan. Because he is what? The accuser of who? Of the brethren. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Now, this is the hard part. You know, the easy part is when we slip and we say, oh, Lord, forgive me for gossiping. The hard part is making it right. Therefore, Jesus continues, therefore, since you shouldn't be nasty, you shouldn't be speaking this way about people, if you bring your gift to the altar, now what does that mean, if you bring your gift to the altar? It's kind of like if you come to church for prayer, okay? In Jesus' day, they would come to the temple with their offering. Today, we come with our offering. Okay, so if you come to church, and you remember that your brother has anything against you, what are you to do? Not even get to church. If you're on your way to church, you need to turn around. I guess I'm going to miss Sabbath school today because there's something more important. Is there something more important than Sabbath school? Leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So reconciliation in the church is more important than being in church? Is that what it's saying? You come to church and you remember your brother has out against you, you need to hightail it over there and apologize. Now, what if you didn't do anything wrong? Should you go over and apologize? What does it say? If your brother is upset with you, even if you did nothing wrong, you're still to go over there and apologize. But pastor, if I didn't do anything wrong, what am I going to say I'm sorry for? Is that what it's saying? Sometimes you can apologize. You have to brainstorm and say, Lord, please show me my faults. See, this is really hard work. Because if you don't think you've done anything wrong, you really need to pray. Say, Lord, show me clearly what I've done wrong in reference to this brother. Maybe you haven't talked to him. Maybe you went to church 6 times and you didn't go over and say anything to him. Maybe you didn't even know he was upset with you. Maybe you thought it could be, but nah, it's too much work. I don't want to go to him anyways. He's difficult. Or I'm too busy working. I'm too busy doing this. Too many other things happening. Now, I'm guilty of some of these things, a number of these things. Let me read to you from the Mount of Blessing on this section. Okay? I read this and I said, this is a must. I got to say this here. If we have in any manner defrauded or injured a brother, and I'm adding this, even slightly, if we in any manner defrauded or injured a brother, we should make restitution. So if you've done something you shouldn't have done to your brother, even if it's just saying something, you can make restitution. Ask God for wisdom. How do I restore things? Okay, she goes on. If we have unwittingly borne false witness, this is just talking, isn't it? If we have misstated his words, if we have injured his influence in any way, ooh, this is really coming down to the wire now. Have you ever said something about somebody else that's even slightly injured their influence, injured their character? Now, I'd have y'all raise your hands, but I'll raise my hand because I'm absolutely guilty. And I'll confess. I haven't talked about you guys, but there's been 1,000 opportunities for me to say, you're right, this guy is up. But we don't use those kind of words. We just say, he's difficult. That does influence, that does injure somebody's influence. Okay, let me read that again. If we have injured his influence in any way, this is what we should do. We should go to the ones with whom we have conversed about him. You don't even have to go to the person. If they don't know, you don't need to tell them. This makes it worse, okay? But if they do know, then you need to talk with them, okay? We should go to the ones with whom we have conversed about him and take back all our injurious misstatements. Is that hard work? This is the most difficult thing that you will ever do. Because you're going to have to remember how many different people you've been gossiping with. And you're going to have to go to absolutely every single one and say, what I've said about Brother Joe, I don't even care if I think it's right or Brother Joe is guilty. I need to take every one of those statements back. Because I have been doing the wrong thing. One, I didn't talk to him. Or I could have even talked to him and then gone around and still gossip. This is hard work. As a matter of fact, this is impossible, impossible work. And I'll tell you a little story about myself. And I picked one that was a long time ago just because that helps you realize that I'm really way better than I used to be. I'm saying that with a smile because this is one of the most difficult things that you will ever do. To keep your mouth shut. Or to close your ears and not listen to somebody. Wah, 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 wah. You know the little, who is that?
What's that cartoon? What's that? The one with like goes wah 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 wah. Forgetting the cartoon, Peanuts cartoon. Yeah, you hear the little background voice wah 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 wah. I ended up in college. I think I talked about some of the stories there, but one story was when I was in studying to be a minister. And I had a whole group of other people studying to be ministers. Now, you think they're special folk? They're special enough for the devil to tempt every last one of them. Okay? So we ended up going to one class. And in that class, we had a teacher. Now, ministers, people, you know, those kids studying to be ministers, they're kind of zealous for the truth, some of them. Okay? Came here, we're going to preach to the world about what we believe, about Adventism. We want to make everybody an Adventist, right? So we went to class, and one of our teachers there was teaching something he ought not to have taught. Okay? And I'll mention what he was teaching. He was teaching that it was okay to drink wine moderately. As long as you drink it moderately, it's okay to have a little alcohol. And immediately, you know, as a newer Adventist, I said, what kind of heresy is this? Now, if you're a more conservative Adventist, beware. The devil could make really conservative Adventists really mad people in no time flat. He can even get the liberals to be mad. But we were more conservative, so he got us to be mad. So somebody spoke up in the class and said, well, teacher, and the teacher kind of knocked him down and said, well, you haven't studied all the info, okay? So now we come out of class, and the first thing in your mind says, this teacher deserves some tongue lashing. You know what tongue lashing is? So when we got out of class, all the students were chatting back and forth and saying, how in the world can this teacher teach in this school? Now, this is an Adventist school. He shouldn't be teaching these kind of things here. We went back and forth. We were great at it. Gossip is, I mean, I don't know, maybe they should have a gossip 101 so we can be more professional and really know how to do it professionally. We didn't need the class. You don't need to take a class on that. It comes naturally. Isn't that true? Now, did this teacher deserve some gossip? Well, maybe. He was way off theologically. You know anybody that's off theologically? Don't raise your hand. Don't they deserve some gossip? So this teacher was off theologically, and he was, you know, maybe he should have taught in a Baptist college and not an Adventist college. So we could really lambaste him. So we did. And we'd come to class, and many of the people wouldn't say anything because they didn't want to fight with him over it. And they'd go out, and everybody'd gossip. All the ministerial students. Could you imagine that? Ministerial students gossiping? Is that the kind of training we're getting? You have to be a ministerial student to get training from the devil? So we gossiped and we gossiped. And I started reading the Bible. Now, this is the part that's really good for ministerial students. Reading the Bible is a good thing. Because when you read the Bible, one, you stop talking, which is good. Because ministerial students, you know, they all love to talk. All those preachers, you can't shut them up. Which makes it more difficult because people who like to talk are even better at gossiping. So I started reading, and it said in Titus 3:2, don't speak evil of anyone. And I argued with the Lord. Have any of you ever argued with God? But this guy deserves some And if I don't say anything, all the other students are going to be fooled into thinking it's okay to drink moderately. So I better speak up. And the Holy Spirit said, Dean, did you read what I wrote? Don't speak evil of any man. Have you even talked to the teacher? Well, he probably won't listen. But my job, according to what I was reading, was I needed to go and take everything back that I had said to all of my friends. I couldn't even count how many people I had talked to. I couldn't remember them all. That makes it easy. Now I can't remember them all, so I don't have anything to do. The Lord says, no, you talk to the ones that you remember. So I went to each one and I said, you know, I don't care what the teacher deserves. We are violating the scriptures. And so I said, will you forgive me? One of the students says, well, there's nothing to forgive. This guy deserves it. I said, well, will you forgive me? No, I don't think you need to be. You don't need to feel bad. This is the devil making you feel bad. There was another student, I didn't mention this, but there was another student that came and talked to me and he said, you know, I've been reading the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And I think what we're doing is the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit spoke to him too. And you know how long I put it off? You're supposed to go to your brother before you even bring your offering? Well, I brought my offering quite a few times. I wouldn't do it. Matter of fact, I waited and waited and waited because I didn't want to do this uncomfortable thing. Week after week, going to church, singing, not listening to the Holy Spirit. Can people be in church and not listen to the Holy Spirit? That happens because we can kind of tune them out. Say, well, I'll talk about, I love Jesus and all that, and we'll sing, you know, Jesus loves me and all that. Thank God he loves me because... And the Holy Spirit can do one of two things. He can either get louder or we can get deafer. Because the longer you put off doing something you're supposed to, the more we get deaf. You know, what kind of sin is this called? Does it matter what the sin is? But thank God, I finally got to the point where I was miserable in church and at home, and I went and I said to my brother, I said, will you forgive me? And the other brother, he came, he says, I've already apologized, but they don't think we should apologize. They think we should kill the guy. Get rid of him. Lynch him. Let's go talk to so-and-so so they could fire him. What does God want us to do? How does God want us to treat people? Even people who are totally out to lunch. I'm trying to remember that story. Corrie Ten Boom, when she was finally out of the concentration camp, she wasn't even a Jew. And she ran into one of the soldiers that had either raped her or tortured her. And he came to her and he said, will you forgive me? And she couldn't do it for a long time. She really struggled with that. Do we stop lambasting other people and spreading their name around as dirt because they're good people? How does Jesus treat our name? Are we good people? How many get to go to heaven because they're good? How many get to go to heaven because they're not good? Does this make sense? How many of us deserve to be lambasted? And you know, Satan comes and he accuses each one of us. Just like Joshua the high priest, we come there with our filthy rags and the devil says, see, this guy is the devil's really good at gossip. to all the other imps. That's right. And the Satan goes around and talks to all the other Christians and whispers in their ears, "See this guy? Look at him." You know what he's done? Jesus says, "You've heard you shouldn't be a killer, shouldn't be a murderer. But you got to really think carefully the way you treat other people, the way you talk about other people, the way you think. Even if you never said anything, what goes through your mind when you think of other people? You got to brainstorm. That's what we had to do. I sat down with my friend and I said, we got to think of good things to say about the teacher. And I said, can you think of anything? And he sat there and I said, well, have you found anything? He said, I can't think of anything. And one of the students, because we had a whole group of guys, one of the guys says, well, he does pray at the beginning of the class. I said, well, that's one good thing. Do you know why church becomes hell on earth quite often? For this very reason. Because we as Christians work for the devil and we don't even realize it. And my prayer is, Lord, forgive me, because all the times that I've done it, and some of the time that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I say, I remember gossiping and I never even went and apologized. And technically, I should be calling this person and finding out where they're at, even if I haven't seen them for 10 years, saying, will you forgive me? Makes a difference, doesn't it? Are you big enough to be able to do that in your own life? Are you big enough to say, I'm sorry? Now, if the person who you've talked poorly about doesn't know, you don't have to go tell them. But if they know you've been speaking bad, then it's time to apologize to them as well. This is the hardest job that you have to do as a Christian. Can God help you to do that? Who would like to have this under your belt by the time Jesus gets here? Would you stand with me? Who would like to be able to say, Lord, forgive me, and also to tell all the people that you have spoken about and spoken with about others, to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? It's hard work. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it corrects us. That's what your word's supposed to do. Rebuke, correct, show us the path of righteousness. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit first start with me. Give me wisdom on where I need to go to apologize. Please be patient with me. Help me to follow your will. Help me to be patient with others. I pray, Lord, that you would do the same with each person here. You know, we're standing because we don't want to be excluded from your kingdom, because we hate our brothers in our heart. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would come in and remove that hatred and fill it with love. Help us to love people who are very difficult to love. Help us to love the people who are easy to love, but more so, help us to love the difficult ones. Help us to speak words of kindness. Help us to speak kindly about them. Lord, this is going to take a miracle, because it's not natural for any of us. But with your help, all things are possible. We just pray, Lord, that you could work, start in my heart, work in each heart here, each person standing, each person in this room, each person listening. Lord, start with me and convert me is our prayer. In Jesus' name.